Are we sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin. Okay. Over the weeks, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And today, we want to look at the gifts of the Spirit. Just to say that I may be wrong on this, but I feel myself as I look through my own Christian journey, as I have been in church after church, listened to ministry after ministry, I do believe that it's not enough just to have the gifts of the Spirit without the fruits of the Spirit. And so often I think that if you operate in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, then there'll be an extra dunamis. That word is dynamite. It's the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God that we want to talk about. Now, I want to give a caveat. I don't know why we need to do this, but I think if you've been in church long enough, you would have seen and witnessed spiritual gifts being abused. It's a sad thing to see sometimes, and that's normally because the gifts of the Spirit are operating without the fruits of the Spirit. But they have been abused, and just because they've been abused doesn't mean that we shouldn't anticipate what God can do in us and through us. And I know that without naming any names or looking at any one individual, there are people within this room that have and do operate in the gifts of the Spirit. But because we live in that age whereby we tend not to speak about it very much, because it can be, I call it the charismaniac movement. You know, sometimes it's over the top, but we can miss out on the goodness of God by not allowing the Spirit to move in us and through us. And I just wrote something down after prayer this morning with our team, and it's the gift of the Spirit is life beyond the natural. So it's just life beyond the natural. And so we use that word supernatural. And so often when we use the word supernatural, we kind of can make it a little bit weird and we don't fully understand it. But the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit, so we ought to. I want us to be equipped, knowing that God can take us beyond ourselves. Now, this is going to sound a little bit puffed up in one sense, but to give you an illustration, before I became a Christian, I've always been pretty much outspoken. I don't like bullies. I have something to say, but normally when I'm provoked, and before I became a Christian, I'd never spoken publicly. I used to get embarrassed. I didn't know what to say. I couldn't compute things. I've never read a book in my life from cover to cover. I've listened to the Bible, but I've never read a book from cover to cover. Now, that's my natural. I became a Spirit-filled, born-again maniac. And something happened on the inside of me that enabled me to go a little bit further so that I can read Scripture, see what it's saying, speak about it without notes, which is not my natural stance. So it sounds a bit puffed up to say it's a supernatural, but it's a God-given gift. It's something that I wasn't born with. It's something that I can't do on my own. Because of severe dyslexia, I turn right when I should turn left, I go up when I should go down, and I can't retain information very well. I'm always saying to people, so remind me, when's that happening? And they think, well, I told you last week. That's my natural. But when we kick into the God-given supernatural, in the sense that he gives us the gifts that he gives us, and he's given me that gift, and I'm not going to apologize for it, but I want to explain it, that it's about not just your natural gifts that you're born with. It's about a little bit more. It's about saying, I want to go a bit further. That, Lord, in the natural, I can't do this. You see, none of us are healers, are we? But God heals, doesn't he? So our natural disposition is we can't heal anybody. Now, even if we're a doctor or a nurse, we can't physically heal anybody. We can use tools to help, but it's God that's designed us, and he can create and he can recreate, and he gives us tools to help. That's the natural. But the supernatural comes when we pray for somebody and God does the work. That's God doing the healing. That's the Spirit of truth coming from your mouth upon that individual. No one's a healer. I don't care what gift you have. You may have that gift that you can pray for people because of that faith that you have, but you don't physically heal. I don't physically heal. It's the Spirit of God that heals. So I want us to look at spiritual gifts. Now in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says this. Now about gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, that's you and me, I do not want you to be uninformed. So God wants us to know about his gifts. How often do we pray when it comes to a position where we can't do anything in the natural? You know, if you have £5 in finance and something you want is £4.99, you don't need to pray about it, do you? You have the wherefore. But if it's £6, you might need to pray for that other pound. Lord, help me. Father God, can you intervene in this situation? It goes from the natural to the supernatural. And we don't see the supernatural, or we don't identify it in the way that we should, because in the privacy of our own space, we can actually be praying that prayer. And just by chance, that pound turns up. Well, it's not by chance, is it? It's the grace of God through the Spirit of God working in a supernatural way through the prayers of the believer. And so it's simple. It's simple. And if you've been affected by the gifts of the Spirit in the way that they've been misused, mismanaged, then I'm sorry for that. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, because we live in an age, a spiritual age. And we live in an age where we want to operate in everything that God has given us. There's people who have seen visions. They've had dreams. Now, people dream in the natural, but when it's a spiritual dream, when it's a dream that instructs you and gives you a clear picture, I trust that you'll understand it's a supernatural thing. So we want to be not uninformed, but informed. And that's what I want to try and do over the next weeks. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Let's just pause there. See, a mute idol is an idol that can't speak. I chuckle at this scripture. When I was first become a Christian, I used to laugh out loud when I read scripture. And this one, they were talking about a lump of wood. Now, you've got to picture this. We're living in an era in this part of the world where they were talking about this situation. There was idol after idol after idol, God after God. There was many deities. And they took this chunk of wood and they cut the wood in half, however they did it. And half of it, they fashioned into an idol. And the other half, they cooked breakfast. I found that highly amusing. And that's the mentality that some people have. They have a lucky charm. Or they, when I was a kid, there used to be things that we used to do. My mum was superstitious. When, if you broke a mirror, that's it. 7 years of your life is gone. You walk under a mirror, you're in fear for the rest of your life. We used to, if I saw an ambulance, my mum said I had to hold my collar. I don't know what all that was about. On New Year's Eve, she would open the back door and open the front door so one year could go out and the other year could come in. That's the life in which I was familiar with. You know, you didn't do something on a certain day. You didn't wash on New Year's Eve because you washed someone out of the family. That's a mute idol. But it had power. In the wrong hands, it had power. Now, when we're talking about God's power, we're not talking about the mute idols. We're not talking about the faceless, nameless, dumb things that are around us. We're talking about the life of God. We're talking about the Spirit of God. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit can say, Jesus, be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. You see, we've been born again, Spirit-filled. We sometimes struggle with those terms because of the abuse. But that's the truth. When we say Jesus is Lord, it's because of that gift of faith that we've been given for salvation. There are different kinds of gifts. There are different kinds of gifts. But the same Spirit. And it's distributed by God. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So it doesn't matter what gift someone has, it's a given, a gift, if it's a spiritual gift, is given by God. It's outworked through the Holy Spirit. So often in life, and maybe you don't think like this, maybe I'm over-egging the pudding. Maybe I'm seeing the abuse that I've witnessed in my own life and I've been unfortunately privy to other people being destroyed and pulled down and the joy sucked out of their lives because of spiritual gifts, that I'm being over the top about this. So forgive me if you don't ever had that experience. But there are different types of gifts. It's the same Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the same Lord, Father God. We see the Trinity at work even within this portion of Scripture. We've got the gifts from the Spirit. It's the same Lord. It's the same God. You know, we need to understand that the gifts that God gives his people, they're different. They're not all the same. They're different. But it's God that works in us and through us. And when we draw alongside the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, I guarantee you, you'll see the outpouring of his goodness. Now, to each one, the manifestation, that's when you can tangibly see something is happening, that you understand. Have you ever been speaking to somebody and they say something to you and it's just an off-the-cuff thing and you go, how did you know that? How did I know what? How did you know that? How did I know what? Well, what you just said. What did I say? See, God is working through that individual. You didn't even know it. It's a gift of the Spirit. So often we can just say, oh, that was coincidence. God's at work. How do I know that? Because he lives in you. So I want us as a church to allow the breath of God to come in us afresh. I was speaking to somebody recently, and when I was a child, I'm one of nine kids, so whenever we had a bath, I got out dirtier than I went in. And I remember we had this gas boiler on our bathroom wall, and there was a pilot light inside, because every now and again we had to relight the pilot light because it went out. And I was amazed as a child, where when you turned the tap on, that little pilot light went, and there was a flame went right across the window. There was a demand on power. And that's the same with me and you, I believe, that we have that pilot light within us. We have that deposit of the Holy Spirit when we accept him as Savior and Lord. And many of us, we don't think we deserve it. Well, you do. You do. Why? Because the Bible says you do. You've been forgiven. And God's given you that deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So it means there's more. So if you imagine, there'll be times in your life and times in my life where the pilot light will be on, and that's just helping us through our daily work. But there'll be a time where, whoosh, there's an extra dunamis, there's an extra power. And when you think about space travel and the energy needed to that rocket to go up, when you think about an aeroplane with the massive engines, that's powerful, isn't it? What about when God said, let there be? Powerful, isn't it? It's powerful. God's word is powerful. And so often I think it's just nice to be reminded. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And he distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different outworking of that. What's happening. It says this, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. God never gives a gift. This is just an introduction, by the way. God never gives a gift to anybody for that person to lord it over someone else. I can say this quite freely because the person's not in this room. He's not even going to be listening to this because he comes from another country. I remember going to a conference. It was a prophetic conference. What it means is this guy was a prophet, so he said. And he would bring teaching and he would start to boast that I have three houses and four cars. And he started to speak what we believe to be a word from God over people. And then he made this statement and he said, when I've finished, don't bother to come up to me because I won't pray for you, because if God wanted to say anything, he would have done it while I was speaking. That's a lie. That's a lie. That guy's a false prophet. I'm being mean, sorry, but that's true. A tree is known by its fruit. If that guy was operating with a gift of the Spirit, he's there to serve. Yes? We're there to serve. When God called me into pastoral care, I can't escape it. I'm here to serve. The word leadership is foot washer in the Greek. It's to serve. It's to draw alongside, like Parakletos draw alongside us. It's to draw alongside in order to encourage. Yes, there's times where we need to be strong in what we say, but I want to suggest to you that when you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you need to have the fruit of the Spirit alongside, because it's for the mutual edification of one another. My gift is for you and your gift is for me. So I want us to re-examine what the Bible says and what we can do about it. You know, I want us to have that spiritual hunger where we say, Lord, you said that you've given us gifts. What's my gift? What's my gift? There'll be a time where you'll just see somebody. You'll start talking to somebody and you'll be overcome with compassion. Something that they've told you and you'll just start to weep inside. Just, Lord, help me. And you just simply say to that person, can I pray with you? And God does something. That's a gift. That's not the natural, that's the supernatural. I'm going to tell a few stories, and I've told them before, but there was a lady one Christmas, she came into church, and her marriage had just failed because she was diagnosed with cancer, and instead of her husband loving her, he walked out on her. And she came into church, she was invited by someone else. She came in that one day, never been back since. However, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And as she walked in, and I just locked eyes with her, something happened with inside. And I never had a word of prophecy. I never had this overwhelming sense that I was going to do something. I just went up and shook her hand. And as I put my hand in her hand, I didn't let go. I just looked at her and said, you've got cancer. She said, yes, I have. Let's pray. And God did something. That cancer went. Not because I'm a healer, but because God chose to use that gift through me at that time. I pray for the next person, they die. Now, can you get that? So I'm not the healer. I'm saying God's given us gifts. And he chooses when he chooses. So I want us to just grab afresh that excitement that God can use you. And he can use me. It talks about the list of some gifts it's got down here. It says, it's for the common good. To one there is given by the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith. The faith is the gift of faith. It's not saving faith. You've all got faith, else you wouldn't be Christians. By the same Spirit. To others gift of healing by the one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. And goes on and goes on and goes on. And there's two or three lists in the Bible that talks about gifts. So because this is just an introduction, I want to just concentrate on trying to encourage you to just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I repent for not using what you've already given me. You know, we want more? Well, let's use what we've got. I'm guilty of that. I've walked away so often from praying for the miraculous in people's lives because I've been abused by it. Sometimes I see something, I know God wants me to do something, and I refuse to do it. And yet I'll say, Lord, I want more of you. Well, I need to use what God has already given me. Now, this portion of scripture here I've written down because I want you to understand something between the natural and the supernatural. This is in Acts, it's talking about a day of great persecution of the church. Stephen had been stoned. Have you ever marveled at the Christians that would stand in the arena while they're being ripped by lions? You ever wondered? And I'm going, God, in today's society, there are people around the world that are executed because they won't deny Jesus. What happens? Well, I've started looking through scripture, and if we just go through this whole story, because we need to get everything into context. We need to see what God is saying about these spiritual gifts. It's not to elevate us. It talks about being stiff-necked. That's not what I'm talking about today. It's this part here, the stoning of Stephen in 54 of Acts 7. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. This is Stephen, because he was sharing the goodness of God. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. That's a throwaway comment, isn't it? Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. So as they're throwing the stones at him, here's Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. God gives his people the gifts that they need when they need them. That's what I want to say about that. It's an act of encouragement. So when you are open to what God wants to do in you and through you. You don't have to go, what is my gift? What is my gift? Your gift is the Holy Spirit. He's given you that gift. He's given you the Holy Spirit. That means that if you're open to speaking the word in season, he may use your voice. If you're open for draw alongside someone else to give them a hand in the home, we don't see it as a gift, but it's a gift. If you're in a position where you know in the natural there's something you just don't like doing, you just can't do it, then God will give you what you need. So whenever I've been invited to speak publicly, I don't want to. But God gives us what we need. If I open my mouth, I trust and believe that he will fill it. And you can do the same when it comes to his gifts. When we start to look through it, it says in this portion of scripture, it's talking about a great power for us who believe. That power, the power, the dunamis, look at it. The dunamis comes from the word dynamite. It's where we get that explosiveness from. The dunamis, that power, is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So what is scripture saying? It's saying the power that's within us as believers is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. Can you believe that? That's what the Bible says. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when we say, I can't, you almost hear the Spirit of God say, good, because I can. I can't do that. Well, I can. Trust me. Well, I can't do that. Well, I can. It's the Spirit of truth in you. So I'm talking about not your natural abilities. You see, I'm naturally gifted at certain things. But other things I'm not. And that's where I rely on God. I say, Lord, I can't do this. And he says, good, because I'll help you through it. So whatever happens in life as you're going forward, just ask God to turn that pilot light into a flame when the time is right. So I want us to be encouraged today. I want us to know that there's a now time for this church. There's a now time for you. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is by mistake. There have been people who have been walking in this church with us for 20 years. You know, I've seen gifts at work within your life. Maybe they're dormant at the moment, but just allow God to turn that tap on and see them reignited. Don't allow abuse. And do you know who abuses you the most? And this is taped, the church. The church does. Isn't that sad? You're abused by the church. You're abused by the very people that are supposed to care for you and look after you. And that's why it hurts. Well, get over it and let's move forward. Because we need to. There was a lady in church, Molly, lovely lady. And her daughter said something to her and she said it to me. And it was a word in season for me. And she said, my daughter had a picture for you, Andrew. She said, there's a donkey buried in a pit and you was that donkey. Great word, right? Great word, Eel. And Betsy went on, she said, there was people just throwing muck at you all the time. And God says you have two choices. You either allow the muck, the dirt, the grime of life and the lies of people to bury you, or you shake them off, you stamp on them and you use the very things to get out of the hole. So for me, that simple word was not a natural but a supernatural. It spoke to me. So some of you may have that same opportunity. Finally, be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I haven't got time to go into it. But when you look at just this simple portion of scripture here, it talks about the power of God. It talks about taking our stand. And when we take our stand, we put one foot in front of the other and nobody's going to push us over. There's only the Holy Spirit that's going to guide and direct us. It says, for your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities and against powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil. So if our enemy is spiritual forces, what's the antidote to that? Spiritual gifts, spiritual grace, the Holy Spirit living in us. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Now, this is a spiritual armor. None of us, I don't think, walk around with a helmet on going, this is my salvation. It's a spiritual helmet. We know that we're saved by grace. When we talk about the shield of faith, we don't walk around with a shield. But it's a spiritual shield. You know that, God, you've given me the faith to trust you, to believe you, to be encouraged by you. When we talk about the gospel and sharing it, he's given us shoes to put on. We don't walk around with Roman sandals on that's got gospel written on them. We know that every step we take is a step towards what God is going to do in us and through us. It's a step of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's what he has done, not what we have done. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So you start looking at these simple portions of scripture in this introduction to spiritual gifts, and it should encourage us to go, yes, Lord, maybe I've just made it a bit weird when I've thought about spiritual gifts, instead of it being a natural part of my supernatural walk. A natural part of my supernatural walk. What I mean by that is we've got all these tools, all this armor, and God will talk to us when we need to use it. We may not even know we're operating in the gift. Because so often we've been taught that unless I stand up and say I'm a prophet, then I don't prophesy. Unless I say I'm an evangelist, I don't evangelize. Unless I say God's given me the gift of healing, I don't pray for people. But God's given each one of us gifts according to his grace and according to your faith. So I want us to be encouraged and just put on that spiritual armor, because we're fighting a spiritual battle. That's why God's given us spiritual gifts. I don't want us to make it weird. I want it to be a natural part of our life. Do you know what? Here's the thing. I'm not against healing services, okay? But every service should be a healing service. Every time we meet another Christian, it's a healing service. We don't need a special service in order to see God's grace at work. But every time we meet together, every time we come in collective worship, you know, there was a season where we prayed for Emma week after week after week after week. We didn't have a healing service, but what was happening week after week? Her body was being healed. Her body was being set free from allergies. So ask. Knock, seek, because you don't know who you're going to be talking to. So often we can think that that person who has a platform ministry, if only I get him or her to pray for me. No, just get a believer to pray with you. Where two agree on anything, there it is. Why? Because they're spiritual graces, they're spiritual gifts, the charismata. It's the grace, the character of God. So I want us to look and continue to look at scripture and see what the Bible actually says about it. Not just what I'm saying, but what the Bible says. In John 3:3, it says this: Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." So if you are a Christian, you are born again. That's a spiritual gift. It's a gift of faith that God gave you in order for you to receive that forgiveness, so that he could come and dwell within you. What did Nicodemus say? I'm glad you asked. I remember when I first became a Christian, talk about gifts. I went to a home group, which happened to be my next door neighbour. He was an elder in the church. And we're reading this portion of scripture. And I'd never read the Bible before. And I can't read. So we used to read around the room. And I'd say, "No, please pass me by." So I'd listen to this portion of scripture. And then the leader said to all of us, "So what do you think that means?" So I'm quiet because I'm thinking, I don't know nothing. I know nothing. And it went quiet. And then he looked at me and he says, "Andrew, what do you think it means?" I said, "Well, that's easy. It says what it means. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, as this young lady will find out soon again. And spirit gives birth to spirit." So it's the spirit of God coming inside of me and birthing something. He said, "Yes, but how do you know?" Because that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. So we need to have eyes that will see and ears that will hear. Because we can so often miss the supernatural because we just see it as a natural, being born again. No, being born again is a spiritual gift. It's a gift of grace that God's given us through faith in Christ alone, that we receive what he's already done for us. He comes to inhabit us. That pilot light is a light within each one of us. Because we've been born again. Just when I used to go to Emma's school and she did assemblies after school, They'd sing this, "This little light will shine." Well, you have a little light inside. I'm not singing that. You have a little light inside of you that shines. It's called Christ. It's called Christ. But that little light, there's more power in that small deposit than there is in the rocket boost that sends people to Mars. Why? Because God said, let there be. There was power to create, power to recreate. So we've been born of his spirit. We've given that deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So as we talk about this introduction into the gifts of the spirit, it's simply just to stir us up, just to say, okay, Lord, you live in me. Help me. It says this, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. We're his disciples, disciplined of God. Peace I leave with you, peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So he's giving you something that's not natural. It doesn't say it here, but it infers, I'm not giving you what the world gives you, I'm giving you what the Father gives you. It's not natural, it's supernatural. The advocate, to draw alongside. So God's given us the Holy Spirit to walk with us, in us and through us. There'll be times he'll lead us, there'll be times he'll walk with us, and dare I say, there'll be times he'll push us. You can do this. I can't do this. Yes, you can. That's the parakletos. That's the one drawing alongside. That's God rekindling that gift in you. You can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Strengthen me. Do you know what that shows you? Is that you can't do it in the natural. So you need the supernatural. And that's what the gifts are. They're simple as that. It's just not your ability. It's God's ability. It's God given. So let's be encouraged to pray about this as we go forward, as we have our eyes open afresh. And if there's something that you disagree with, then say it, not in the service, but after. This is about Christ in you. It says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give gifts to those who ask him? Fair question, isn't it? How much more? But do you see what needs to happen there to those who ask him? It says, when it talks about certain gifts, it says, eagerly desire. You know, when it talks about knocking and seeking, eagerly desire. There are some things I don't want. Thank you, Lord. I don't want that gift. But God will give me it anyway. But if there's something you desire, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Give me the ability to understand. Give me the gift of forgiveness. Give me the gift to be able to draw alongside someone who's hurting and have the knowledge that you've given me to unlock their lives and the wisdom to know how to operate. There was a lady called Rona May. And bear with me for time. Rona May, she was somebody that was abused in the most horrific way, and I won't say what exactly happened. She was abused by multiple people at a time. And she became a Christian. And God washed away all the filth, all the abuse, all the pain. And she started to have this relationship with God, and she felt that she could hear his voice leading her and instructing her. And this is her story, whether you believe it or not, but it's her story. She said she was going to be speaking at a conference, and she went for a swim that morning, and as she's swimming, she's passing this woman, and she just felt the Lord say to her, this lady's come to meet her lover. She's about to cheat on her husband. She was given knowledge. But because she had prayed about it, she was given wisdom. So she didn't go up to that woman and say, you adulterer, you stinking rotten sinner, you're going to hell. He just said, my name is Rona, what's your name? Are you? We've got a service tonight, would you like to come? That was it. Left it with God. God had given her knowledge, but wisdom also. The lady came to the church service, got born again, spirit-filled, repented, went home to repair her marriage. You see, just because God gives you knowledge, without wisdom, we can pull somebody down. He might tell me something. I might be thinking, oh, I'm not going to look at you, Julian, because you think I'm picking on you. He might tell me something, or I might feel something. But without wisdom, it can pull people down, can't it? It can destroy their lives. Just because you've been given a gift of knowledge doesn't mean that you should just blurt out what you think. You should weigh it up with God's word. And God's word said, is it encouraging? Is it edifying? Does it build people up? And then we know it's from him. So we should ask, is what I want to say in that. We should ask and expect him to give. In Romans 12, verse 4. It says this, for just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So bear about, we're talking about spiritual gifts, and I'm using this portion of scripture. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. We have different gifts. Just want us to know that. I may have the ability to do this, and you may have the ability to do something completely different. It's still valid. But all I do, Pastor, is pray. Another story. There was a guy, a big black man, and he was an awesome preacher. He would preach in the back garden and the worms would get saved. He was so anointed. And his mum used to ring him up and say, son, I'm praying for you. And he'd say, thanks, mum. And over time, he got so familiar with that phone call. After church, before church. Before church, she'd say, son, I'm praying for you. She was housebound. I'm praying for you, son. Yeah, okay, mum, thanks. After church, son, I've been praying for you. Thanks, mum. Well, his mum died. And he got back in the pulpit. And this is his story. He got back in the pulpit and he couldn't speak. He never had no inspiration, only perspiration. He tried to do it in his own strength and nothing was happening. And as he's talking to the Lord, as he's in prayer and he's saying, God, what's happening? He was saying, your ministry was being held up by the prayers of your mum. You see, never say, I'm just praying for you. You know, I'll say this publicly. Julian is an armor bearer to me. Since we met, he prays for me. He stands in the gap for me. And if I ever need anything spiritually, Julian will fight for me. And I say that because we have that relationship. It's a gift, isn't it? It's a gift. So we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Grace, undeserved merit. That means it's not natural. It's supernatural. So I want us to take hold of this at the end of this service and just say, Lord, yeah, you have given me graces. You have given me gifts. Help me to ignite that pilot. It says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the first, might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. Through the word of truth. That's the dynamis of God. That's the power of God. He chose to give us birth. He chose through his grace to come and dwell within us. So spiritual gifts, let's lay hold of them afresh this season. In Acts 4:7, it says this. They had Peter and John brought before them. This was they were coming before the council. To be abused yet again. They began to question them, by what power or what name do you do this? It says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, you stinking rotten sinners, you're all going to hell. Or words to that effect. They understood, as you look through scripture, they'll say something like, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary people, but they had been with Jesus. You see, you can take an unschooled, ordinary person. I'm unschooled and very ordinary. But because I've been with Jesus, he gives us a supernatural to our natural. He gives us an ability. He gives us a gift. He gives us a grace. He gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. So God takes the natural and he does something supernatural with it. So don't write yourself off. Whatever God wants to give you, just be open to him as we continue in Acts. And I only have one more scripture. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. Not my words, but scripture. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You see, some years ago, I was in the Linsport, and they were doing a lottery to raise funds for this local gymnastic team to go abroad. And I just chose for me not to do the lottery. So this lady comes up to me and she says, would you like to support? And I said, what is it? Yeah. So I gave her £10 and I bought 10 tickets. And she said, what name should I put down? And I said, Kingsland Gymnastics Club. No. What I mean is, what's your name? Because if you win the £500 prize money, where do I send it? I said, you keep it. She said, I keep it. So you don't want the money? I said, no. And I looked at her and I saw something within her eyes. And I said this. I said, do you do the lottery? She said, yes, I do. I said, do you do the same numbers every week? She said, yes, I do. Do you know you're held by fear? She said, what do you mean? I said, you dare not do it because you'll know that you won if you did. So you dare not do it. You see, that has now got a hold of you. And that was just something that came out of my belly that I spoke, and I never spoke to her since. So that was a gift from God. Just a word of knowledge about the system. So for you and me, we may be ordinary, unschooled people, but we serve an extraordinary, extraordinary God, don't we? Let me leave you with this scripture. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7. Therefore, do not lack any spiritual gift. Therefore, do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end. How do we keep firm to the end? By keeping short accounts with God, keeping short accounts with each other, and allowing God to move in us and through us. Let's not lack in any spiritual gifts. He will also keep you firm. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I put this portion of scripture to finish with, because we can read stuff and miss the power of it. So let me repeat it. We've heard about spiritual gifts. We've heard about the abuse. I look at life, and I've said it before, and that's just my way of my mind computing, as a pendulum. And I've been in spiritual meetings where the pendulum has clearly gone too far over this way in abuse. And I've been in another meeting where the pendulum has gone so far over there because it's all denied. God doesn't have power. And I want to be in the center of God's plan. I want to be scripturally accurate. I want to know what God says to me. But we can miss something so powerful in the end of this portion of scripture here in verse 9. God is faithful. We need to know that. God is faithful. God is faithful. Gives us faith to the fullest, who has called you into fellowship, friendship, relationship, oneness with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you're not on your own. So when you walk this walk, when you're in this journey, when you're feeling that you're in a room on your own and you're feeling isolated and alone, if the Bible is true, you're not alone. You have the Spirit of truth within you. You have the Spirit of grace within you. You have the Spirit of forgiveness within you. You have the Spirit of joy within you. You have that dunamis of the Holy Spirit. That pilot light is always a light within a Christian. But there'll be times where there'll be a there'll be a ruach, if you like. The breath of God will breathe upon this circumstance and you burst into life. Sorry for being so poetic, but I will leave it there. Let's pray. This kind of reignites something within me, this message, because I've kind of just ignored the gifts of the Spirit. I've just ignored opportunities where God has said, you can do this. I mean, I remind you from time to time of something people have said to me. And if you just cast your mind back, you'll see where you operated, where you helped somebody, you encouraged them, you had a word in season for them. And this is where the word prophecy gets abused. God just gives you some knowledge and you abuse it, or they abuse it, but he gives you some knowledge, and as you repeat what he tells you, it opens up the way for someone who was in darkness to come into light. God will give you the super to your natural if you ask him. So Lord, we thank you for Grace Community Church. We thank you for all the natural abilities that we have as a collective body. We thank you for the supernatural ability that is represented in this room. We pray, Lord, that you would blow afresh upon the pilot light of our lives. That, Lord, that we would have that wisdom and discernment and that understanding and that grace and that forgiveness and that boldness, Father God, that the word talks about, to be who you've called us to be. This week, Lord, as we digest what you've said to us, let us just simply pray and ask for you to reveal yourself afresh to us. We ask this in your name, Jesus. God's people said, Amen. Amen.